We've been going through a series, and if you have Bibles, if you turn with me back to Exodus 20, if you need a Bible, there are Bibles in the chairs, underneath the chairs in front of you. If you still need a Bible, if you don't have one there but would like one, raise your hand and Garrett will help you out getting you a Bible. Just raise your hand high if you don't have it. We've been going through a series here on the Ten Commandments. We've actually just begun the first couple commandments. The thing is, when you look at the Scriptures, you find that the greatest things, the great two commandments, Jesus said, are to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you think about mankind, what man has discovered at the end of life is that what really matters most is your relationships. How did you love God? How did you love others? How did you love? Very intricately tied. Now sometimes when we look at the commandments, we kind of look at them like they're right there on that piece of wood over there. It's a list of rules. But the Ten Commandments, if we view them only as a list of rules, we are going to miss out on the teaching, the instruction, the reason for the commandment that God gives us. God is teaching us and instructing us in these commands how to better love Him and serve Him, and how to better love and serve mankind. And He does it as we see them, not just in the written letter, not just as a list of rules, but in the teaching and instruction that Jesus gives to us. So we begin here today in Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be picking up on the third commandment, but we need to read the first verses here. It says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." So He identifies who is giving the commandments. And He says here in verse 7, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." Now, there was a translator of the Bible, his name was Moffat. He has, appropriately, the Moffat translation of the Bible. He said one of his biggest disappointments was that when he was translating the Bible, he did not put the name of God back into all these verses. Because whenever you see there, as it is in verse 7, when you see Lord in all capital letters, that's not Lord as we would use it. That'll be capital L and then small O-R-D. But when you see those capitalized letters, that is the name of God. Now, you might have heard this if you've heard of Jehovah or Yehovah or Yahweh. These are our attempts in English to try to say God's name. And I'm not going to get into all the arguments about that today. Not even going to come close to trying, but know this. I'm just going to use the name Yahweh. It's the one most scholars would use, the ones that they had said, this is very close. We see His name Yah, and Yah is also the name for Yahshua, and we see that Jesus, in if you go to the Hebrew, it's Yahshua, like Yahweh, Yahshua. Jesus means God who saves, and Yahweh is the name of God. So if you don't agree with that, we'll talk later, but we're just going to use that throughout this, because He's giving His name and saying, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord, Yahweh, will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, how many of you were taught by your parents to avoid bad language? Don't cuss, don't curse. I think that was kind of a general standard in households, right? And when my parents would talk about that, they would go to this commandment. They say, you have to watch the way you talk. Now, let's turn over to Leviticus. Hold your place here in Exodus 20, but let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 24. Because God is serious about the way we talk about His name. Now, God is called by many names. We call Him God or Lord. We call Jesus, Christ, Messiah. And notice this in Leviticus 24, verse 10. It says, "Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And so they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Debri, the tribe of Dan. And they put him into custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take outside the camp him who has cursed, then let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him." Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him. The stranger, as well as him who is born in the land, when he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Now, when we look at this, I hope that you see, as we look at this through the eyes of Jesus, how precious the name of God is to God. He values His name. It's important. In fact, you think about the death penalty being assessed for what this man said. To be careful, to be guarded with words. Now, if we have not taken God's name in vain, if we have not cursed, can we go over to the commandment board over here and can we just put a little check mark by commandment number 3? We checked it off. We're all good. I did it just right. Is that what this commandment's really about? That God doesn't want us to take His name in vain? I want you to think about this in terms of what does God want? We can see what He doesn't want. But what does God want from us when we look at this? How does this help us love God better? How does this help us serve God better? That's the question we need to be asking. Now, the Bible is full of all kinds of teachings, of all kinds of instruction. Can you help me out here with this? I don't know what's going on. Of what to do with God's name. Praise His name. Rejoice in His name. Exalt His name. Magnify His name. Remember His name. Declare His name. Raise it up. Give glory to His name. So, when we look at this in terms of our words, what God is saying is, look, I don't want you to be cursing or taking my name in vain, blaspheming. I want you to be declaring my name and who I am. To declare the name of God. To use our mouth for blessing, not cursing. So as children of God, we first need to understand, we need to look at His name and to consider what it is. To consider how we use our mouths for blessing His name. But let me ask you this, what is in a name? Remember the commercial with a name like Smuckers? You better be good. Bill and I have a radio show up in San Francisco. It's a business talk show. And we'll say with names like Liesenfeld and Lucenhide, you better be good. Right? Because a name has something to it. And when people hear that name, they're like, I've never heard that name before. That's a weird one. Right? And so they kind of want to dismiss it. They kind of want to throw it out. They don't want to accept it. So you've got to be good to make your name of some reputation. But think about what is in a name. Think about what you conjure up in your mind when you hear a name. Like when I say Abraham Lincoln, you think about the name Abraham Lincoln. What does that mean to you? Do you have a whole context there, a whole persona that you think about when I say Abraham Lincoln? Now how about Benjamin Franklin? Do you have a persona? Benjamin Franklin. See, my Benjamin Franklin, though I never met him, is not the same as my Abraham Lincoln. They're different people from what I've read, from what I know of them. In my mind, their names have been declared. It means something to me. It has meaning to me. George Bush. Right? Or President of the United States. You have a thought. Bill Clinton. You have an image in your mind. I bet they're not the same. When you hear a person's name, the name represents all that person is. It's no different with God. Turn with me over to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Moses here had asked God to come. He asked Yahweh to show me your glory. Show me your glory, he says. In verse 18, 19, he says, this is God speaking, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He said, I'm going to show you my glory, and in showing my glory, I'm going to declare my name. So when you think of the name of God, what does God want you to know? Wouldn't you like to know that? God, when I think of you, what do you want me to think about? What are the things that you want to be on my mind. So notice what he says here in chapter 34, verse 5. So the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of Yahweh. And Yahweh passed before him and he said, Yahweh, Yahweh God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. So when you think of the name of God, God is saying, this is what my name means. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering. Last week we talked about images, not making any graven images. Sometimes we want to make God in our own image. But here we're seeing the image of God. What His image is tied to what His name is. When you think of the name of God, He wants you to think about this first and foremost. To have a true image of who He is. To know, if you were to say, what kind of being, what kind of personality, what kind of character does Yahweh have? Well, this is it. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. To see His image as it is. Now, let's turn back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. He says this in 20 and verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain. Now the name of God is very important to Him. I hope that as we go through this and look at these verses today, we see and appreciate this. In Isaiah 42:8 it says, Yahweh is my name and my glory I will not give to another. His name is important to Him. Turn with me, keep your place here in Exodus, and turn over to John chapter 17. So we see something about Jesus. When He discusses the name of God, we see what He wants us to remember, what He wants us to hold on to. John chapter 17 and verse 6 says, I have manifested, or as it could be translated, I have revealed your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Down in verse 10, he says, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled, as he talks about Judas there. In verse 26, he says, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it. Now why? Why did he want to declare the name? Notice what Jesus said, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Why declare the name of God? Why do we preach Jesus Christ? So that the love of Jesus Christ would be the love that is within you. That you would know Him. That you would know His name. That you would know the power of His name. Romans 10 and verse 13 says that he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To become a Christian, the first thing you recognize is the name of Jesus Christ. The Son of God who died for you and gave you forgiveness of sins. Life everlasting comes through Him. So we come to know the name of Jesus. We believe in the name of Jesus. And so as it says there in Romans 10:13, he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now turn over with me to John chapter 1. John in chapter 1 and verse 11. John 1 and verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, speaking here of Jesus. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, to those who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want you to realize, sometimes we talk a lot about what Jesus came to do in terms of how he saves us from our sins, how he cleanses us from our iniquity, how he breaks the bands of wickedness. He deals with those negative things by his power, by his salvation. But when you read here in John chapter 1, it says, as many as received him, he gave the right to be the children of God. Do you see that this is what he came for you? That he wants to call you by his name. That he wants you to be his children. You know, when you have a child, what name does your child get? Gets the name of the parents, right? God is saying, I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to place my name on you. And back in Exodus 20, verse 7, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The word take is not so much as to say his name. That word actually means to bear, to carry. He's saying, don't carry my name. And when he says vain, he's talking about don't destroy it. Don't ruin it. You know, Proverbs talks about that a good name is more precious than gold and silver. The reputation, that tells you what God thinks of reputation, of his mind. He's saying, my name is important to me. Yahweh is my name. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another. And what I'm doing is by sending Jesus is I'm giving you the right to be the children of God, to bear my name, to carry my name. And so he says, carry my name, don't take it in vain. Don't abuse my name. Because his name stands for something. Notice how this happens to us. Turn over with me, if you would, to Matthew 28. This was the command, the commission of Jesus. The last verses here of Matthew 28. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, if you haven't been baptized, I'd like you to talk to me because it's important that you become baptized. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized. But when you baptize a person, when you put them down under the water, into a watery grave as is described in Romans, you're baptizing them in the name of God. And when they come up, and for those of you who have come up, you are raised in newness of life. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You bear the name of God. He stamps it. You are my child. And he says, don't bear that name in vain. I remember my dad talking about this. My dad was a businessman in a small town back in Kankakee, Illinois. It was just a town of about 30,000 people and a lot of unemployment, a lot of good, hard-working farmers in that area. And I remember him teaching us to protect the family name. The family name means something. He worked very hard for the name Liesenfeldt to mean something in that town. When people thought of the name Liesenfeldt, they thought of integrity. They thought of character. They thought of diligence. They thought of the characters and qualities he wanted it to have. And now as his children, as we got older, and as we went to school, he said, don't ruin your name. Protect your name. Seek to have a good reputation. So what you are known for, because a person is known. Just as we talked about different people. You know, you might think of Abraham Lincoln. There were qualities that make his name a good name. If you think of Jeffrey Dahmer, I don't know if you remember him. He was the guy that used to... That's not a good name, is it? Would you like to be named Jeffrey Dahmer? How about, you know, John Wayne Gacy? I mean, you go, you know, you start to think about, they ruin their names. God says, don't ruin my name. Don't call yourself a Christian. Take that name in vain. Don't take that name in vain. That's chapter 9. Well, you know, yeah, I think we have enough time. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Remember the Apostle Paul. He was Saul, and he was out. He oversaw the death of Stephen, his killing. He was on his way to get more. He was on his way to Damascus to see if he could imprison any other Christians there, and God had called him. And down here in verse 13, a disciple, Ananias, was called by God, and God told him, look, I'm calling him, I want you to go pray for him. And he's like, well, let's just read what he says. So Ananias, in verse 13 here of Acts 9, he says, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. And notice, the Lord said to him, go, he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. To bear my name. You are a chosen vessel to bear God's name as well. He's a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. All in the name of Jesus. Turn over with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And in verse 19 it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and notice this, and members of the household of God. You know, I think this is one of the things that's really difficult for some people to really believe. To say, you bear the name of God. You are God's child. In Romans 8, Paul is talking about this, that we have received the adoption by the Spirit, whereby we call out, Abba, Father. And that Abba, Father would be like saying something even more intimate than Daddy. You know how when your little boy comes up last night, my son came home, little Jack, and I said, hey, Jack, and he's like, Daddy! Daddy! You know, it doesn't get any better than that for a dad. Daddy is so happy. And God's saying, look, I want you to believe you call me Daddy. Sometimes we think God is so far off. Sometimes we think that God would not want us to be called His own children. But if you accept Jesus Christ, He says, not only can you, I give you the right to be called the children of God. The right. By the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you have the right. You are the child of God. And so he says, you were strangers, but no longer strangers and foreigners. You are members of the household of God. Notice in chapter 3 here in verse 14, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family. Revelation 14 and verse 1. Let's finish this up to show you that we do bear the name of God. That we need to accept our position. If we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, to accept our position before Him. Revelation 14, 1, speaking here, John in the revelation of Jesus Christ writes, then I looked and behold a Lamb standing on the mount, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written on their foreheads. God wants you to be identified as His. Those are my kids. Those are my children. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, talking about the saints serving the Lord, in verse 4 of Revelation chapter 22, it says, they shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no light there, no need of a lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. They shall see His face, and their name shall be on their foreheads. the intimacy, the relationship that God has. The commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. He's saying, you're going to be called by my name. My people are called by my name. Don't take it in vain. Don't destroy it. Don't ruin it. Don't call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ. That name that means merciful and long-suffering, forgiving iniquity, full of goodness, full of truth. Don't bear that name and do what is contrary to it. Because when you do, you profane it. You tear it down. You make it less than what He called you to be. God gives us His Spirit when we're baptized because it is the only way to write this in our heart and in our mind, that we focus our lives on Him, on loving Him and loving each other, that we actually can do this. To change us, to take us from being sinners and to create us into His image, to bear His name with dignity and with honor before men as ambassadors for Christ. Let's turn over here to Amos chapter 2, and we're going to see how this happens, how God describes how this happens. Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Now notice this, because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth, which is on the head of the poor, and pervert the way of the humble, and a man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. To profane it. To carry it. He was saying, my children don't act like I act. They abuse. They oppress. They sell. They pervert. They defile my name. They're called by my name, but they do things that don't represent who I am. See, it's not just about don't curse, guys. This goes much deeper into the relationship with God. It's saying, listen, don't carry this name in a way that you're going to defile it. You've got to protect the name. Protect the name of God. Protect the name of those who are called Christians. Malachi 1 goes and talks about this. We're going to skip that. Let's jump ahead to Romans chapter 2 here. Romans chapter 2. Malachi 1, though, is an interesting chapter. Same thing. God's saying, you know, look at what you're doing. You're defiling my name. They say, well, what way do we defile your name, God? He said, by all these things that you're doing, by all these sins, by all these transgressions, you're blaspheming and profaning my name. Now, notice how Paul talks about this in Romans 2, verse 22. He says, you who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You make your boast in the law. Do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. I'm saying, don't do it. Don't take my name in vain. Don't take it and tear it down and ruin it. Notice 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are His. Okay? Now just let that sink in a minute, because I read that kind of fast. So let's read that again. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. Okay? So you... I want you to think about the foundation of your life, Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the seal that is on this foundation. And here it is. The Lord knows those who are His. And as I told you, God came for you to be His. For you to bear the name of God. He wants you to be His child forever. Don't let anybody tell you anything differently. God did not call you to save you to be the pet in the backyard. He called you to be in the household of God. A child of God. It's amazing. It is an amazing purpose for which we have been made. And now notice this. He knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That is the seal. We are His, and because we are His, we depart from iniquity. And it's in that order every time. Because if you try to be departing from iniquity and you're not His, you're just going to find out how futile that is. Because our flesh wants to sin over and over and over and over again. Without the Spirit of God, it is just going to become a list of rules, a list of rules we can't even keep. But with the power of God within us, we are new creatures formed in the image of Jesus Christ, made to walk and follow Him. A lot of people say, I can't do it. We can never be like Him. I know that we can't. That's why He comes to live in us. To change us from the inside out. To change our heart. To change our mind. To change who we are. Of course you can't. Today there was a man who came in here this morning. He's been fighting alcoholism. He was shaking and trembling as all get out. That man needs a deliverance. He needs to know Jesus inside. To be changed from the inside out. Because if he's not, the things are going to keep going on over and over and over. The sins keep coming up over and over and over. The power is not of our own strength, our own mind, our own discipline. The power is in the name of Jesus Christ to save us and deliver us from our sins, from our weaknesses, to cause us to depart from iniquity. That is how it is done. But it begins with that belief. What does God want for us to do? What does He want? Philippians 2. Notice this. Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 9 says, therefore, God also highly exalted Him. We're talking about Jesus. God highly exalted Him and has given Him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and on earth and of those under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue. To know the name, to know the power of Jesus Christ. That is where we need to go. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, how does this attitude come out? How does this willingness to kneel down, to confess that Jesus is our Lord, to confess that He is the one by whom we are saved, by whom we are redeemed? Notice this in Colossians 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And notice, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, there is salvation not in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only one. Don't ever think you can save yourself. There's one name, one authority, one power under heaven by which we may be saved. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. There is only one name under heaven by which we must be saved. And I'm not just talking about the end salvation. I'm talking about the salvation that is even needed today for our sins. To depart from iniquity, there is only one name by which we may be saved today. The deliverance from evil. The deliverance from iniquity that is so necessary. Turn over with me to Mark. know we're hitting a lot of verses here kind of quickly, but I should have told you to buckle in earlier. Mark chapter 16. Jesus giving that commission, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So the words of Jesus, that in His name, a lot of people say, "I can't do that." You're right. You can't do that. Jesus can. Now, when you get to the third commandment, we've already gone through the first two. So let me kind of review a little bit, just for a moment here. Because I don't think that you can get to the third commandment unless you do the first and the second. The first commandment says, "No other gods before me." Remember, we talked about that. It's not just about not having any gods, that we don't bow down to Baal or Molech or Ishtar or any of these things. God's saying, "Love me with all your heart, soul, and mind." The principle is, you've got to love God. You've got to trust and love God. Now the second commandment is no graven images. Remember we talked about how, look at mankind, we want to make something we can touch. We want to believe in something we can see. But he says, "I don't want you to make any graven image of anything in heaven, a likeness in heaven, or a likeness on the earth. I want you to have the true image of God." Man wants to make God in his own image and make God finite and limit God. Remember when Jesus went to his own country? He went back to the area where he grew up and he said, "I can't do many miracles here. A prophet is not regarded in his own country." Yeah, that's Jesus. That's the carpenter's kid. He's no prophet. They didn't believe. And not many things were done there. It's very important to understand the second commandment because as human beings, we want to make God finite. We want to make God the God who can't. And by the time you get to the commandment where Jesus says, "In my name, they will cast out demons and speak with new tongues. They will take up servants. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." The name has no power if in the second commandment, we were already trusting in what we saw. "Well, there's nothing I can do about that." God doesn't mess with that. I don't know if God can heal that. I don't know if God can do anything there. To see, the second commandment is about faith in what you can't see. Man wants to make an image he can see. God wants you to see the infinite, wise Creator God who made the heavens, who made the earth, who made everything that we see. You tell me God can't heal somebody? He made the whole universe. He made a human being. Boy, you don't think God can part the Red Sea anymore? That was just things that were done once upon a time? See, well, you can't walk on water. Well, Jesus did. Peter did. Who was Peter? He was a man. What's it say in the book of James, Elijah? It said, he was a man with a nature just like ours. Yet he prayed, and it did not rain for 3 years. And then he prayed again, and it rained. Why do you think it says he was a man with a nature just like ours? Because people don't believe. And the thing is, we get so busy trying to believe who we are, and we look at ourselves and we say, "Who am I? I'm so finite. I can't heal. I can't change. I can't overcome." And the point is, what God is saying is, "I know. That is why I am your God. That is why I sent my Son, Jesus Christ, so that you would believe." But if you don't love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you don't believe in the invisible, infinite God who can do anything, by the time you get to the third commandment and are bearing His name, you're going to take it in vain. The power of the name rests in those who know and love Jesus, who put their faith and trust in Him. So when you say to the man who came here today, be freed in the name of Jesus, be freed in the name of Jesus, there is power behind the name. It has nothing to do with who's saying it. It has everything to do with Him whose name it is. Believing and trusting in His name. If you don't believe and trust in His name, you end up taking His name in vain. And so, you can't tell the difference between those who are Christians and those who are in the world. It looks very close. There has to be a deeper conviction and belief. These commandments are teaching us how to enter in to love God, to know Him, to realize, yes, you have been called to be the child of God. How are you going to live as the child of God? With dedication to Him, love for Him, faith in Him, carrying His name. Do you believe in His name? Because everything else is just playing a game. You know, one of the signs of the end is that people would have a form of godliness but deny the power of it. I don't want us to be that way. I'm not here to play church. We have to meet Jesus, the head of this group, every time. It's never going to be about David Liesenfeld. It's not going to be about any person here. We worship one God. We serve one Lord, one Christ. And we give Him our heart. Turn over with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name. Now John kind of clarifies this later in the book of 1 John 5. He says, if you ask anything according to God's will in His name, He will do it. You know, if you say, God, you know, in Jesus' name, give me the lottery winnings. That might not be something He's going to give to you. Because God is still the Father. You know, my kids, I don't know, once they get on the sugar track, they want sugar, sugar, sugar. I don't know if you've ever seen that with kids. It's like, it's the sugar track. Everybody's on the sugar train. Woohoo! Going on the sugar train. Can I have sugar? Can I have this? Can I have pop? Can I have candy? How about this? How about the cake? How about the cookies? They get on this sugar train, they want more and more and more. And the thing is, as a father, I have to say, no. Remember Jesus on the night in which He was betrayed, when He was in the garden praying? He said, Father, Father, if there be any other way, please remove this cup from me. But not my will, but Your will be done. When we pray, we have to have that love and faith that I spoke about before as well, because you put your request into His perfect hands. And so sometimes when you pray, you see it's right away. The healing comes right away. The miracle comes right away. The deliverance comes right away. And sometimes you pray and God says, I want you to struggle through this trial. It is good for you. Remember the Apostle Paul? Three times he asked God to take the thorn in the flesh away from him. Three times he called out and said, God, and God just finally answered and said, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness I am made strong. And he said, well, I rejoice. I rejoice that I have the thorn. But don't believe your experience more than you believe this. Because then you just made a graven image. The name of God is to be carried with the conviction, with the life that, with which Jesus carried it. And that name comes with power. That name comes with the backing of God. When you proclaim and pray in the name of Jesus according to His will, and you know it's His will, you trust in that. You believe in that. You've been called to be the child of God, to bear His name. He's the King. I don't know about you, one of the stories I kind of like to watch in a movie or in a book is when there's like the royal family, right? And it turns out that they're in need of an heir, and it turns out that there's somebody who's the long-lost heir of the kingly family. And they go and reclaim him, and they bring him in, and there's this whole process, because maybe they were living this life that was not very good and not very kingly and not very royal, and they were maybe very selfish and not thinking about others. And they bring them in and they start training them how to act as a king, how to act as a person in the royal family. And there's always this story that goes along with they have to change. They have to realize that the power is not for themselves, the power is to serve others. I love that story. Because that's the story of your life. That's the story of your life. But God took you from the ghetto. God took you from the farms. God took you from the city. God took you from wherever He found you. And He said, you're one of the long lost people of my family. And I'm going to give you my name. And now I want you to be my child and be part of the holy royal household of God. Never forget why you're called. Never forget what God's really talking about when He says, do not take my name in vain. He's asking you to carry His name as His own child and to carry on what that name means. His love, His goodness, His justice, His truth, His righteousness, His generosity, His healing, His tender mercies, His compassion and patience and long-suffering. He says, carry that name. Carry that name wherever you go and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to do that. We're going to continue now in worship, praising Him. If there's anything burdening your heart today, there's anything that you'd like to have me pray with you about, I'd love to do that. Please just come and see me after services. Be available to minister in that way.